Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Y'all pray for me this morning. I thank the Lord for my mother. It's what I was trying to say a minute ago. Glad to have her and her husband here this morning. I bawled on her shoulder for a little while yesterday. I couldn't help it. Thought I was going to have a heart attack before I got to see her. Closer we got, the more messed up my heart got. And I don't have heart trouble as far as I know. But I hadn't seen her in 3 years. And I love my mother. She took me and my sister in and raised us. Just like Jesus took me in when he didn't have to, amen. And I told her here a while back, I said, I've used it so much preaching through the years. The illustration of her adopting us and taking us in and loving us and raising us, weeping over us and taking care of us. It's the same thing Jesus has done for us if you're here today and you're saved. But you know, I fear deeply our churches, even our independent Baptist churches, are in danger, great danger, of neglecting our precious Lord and Savior, after all he's done for us. If you would please stand, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. I'll read a little bit from Luke. Y'all pray for me. I tell you, I'm just real emotional. God's just smiled on us. We didn't have a place to stay for everybody. The kids are coming and everything, and God just opened that door. And I mean, you talking about opening a door. It's that place is just unreal. And God did that for us, Brother Wynn. And we get to stay there for 2 weeks. And you know what blessed me the most? The TVs don't work. Amen. I'm glad none of them work. Something to deal with the cable and the family that owns the house, all that something. And so they just canceled it for an hour. And the poor sister that got it for us, she's concerned about that. And the only thing is the weather, you know, but Robin's got her little internet thing so she can find that. But we can be there, and guess what, Brother Dale? We look right out the table where I'm studying. If it ain't foggy and rainy, there's Grandfather Mountain. Look right at it. I'm telling you, folks, these mountains are beautiful when you ain't seen them for a while. God's handiwork. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I love you, Mount Lebanon. Listen to me. I love you, church. You supported me and my family for 14 years. And I don't know if y'all realize it or not. You've invested in me and my family and the ministry over $20,000. I know that. And I'm thankful for churches like you. There's a native pastor in Trinidad, Brother Ricardo, that was a drunkard. It's pastoring Amazing Grace Fundamental Baptist Church down there because there's churches like Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that love missionaries and love lost souls. And there's a little church in Wapanuck, Oklahoma now because of churches. Y'all helped purchase that property. And I love you. And I want you to know that. Because when I get to preaching here a little bit, you might not think so much so, but I love you. And the Lord loves you. And I've prayed and I've wept, and I believe Brother Wynn's prayed and wept. So let's pray that we'd be sensitive to the Lord this morning and mind God. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Please be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you today, Lord, for your riches of mercy, Lord, your grace, God, your goodness, Lord, everything you've done for us. Lord, we just praise you this morning. Father, we thank you for every precious soul that's here this morning, from the youngest to the eldest. God, we thank you, Lord, for every soul that you saved, Lord, in this work over the years. God, we thank you for the labor that Brother Carl done decade after decade here, Lord, and these families. God, we thank you for Brother Wynn, Lord, that you placed here. Lord, continue to see this church grow. Lord, we just thank you so much, God. Lord, you're so good to us. Oh, Lord, help us to remember your goodness today. Lord, help us to remember your mercy you bestowed upon us. And Lord, I pray, Father, you'd help us to see the time that we fail to give you, Lord, that's owed to you, Lord, that we deserve to give to you each and every day of our lives. Father, I pray that you convict hearts this morning with the Holy Ghost in your word. Lord, grant liberty. Lord, you promised us in your word that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Father, you promised us in your word that where two or three are gathered there in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Lord, I believe with all my heart there's more than two or three here this morning that's gathered in your name. Father, meet with us. Keep it enemy. Lord, keep at bay the enemy this morning, that adversary, that deceiver, Lord, that destroyer. Defeat him today in the hearts of your people. And Lord, might you be victorious here this morning. You be exalted. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and amen. I'd like to preach to you a little while this morning with the help of the Lord and the Holy Ghost. No time for God as toward heaven you trod. No time for God as toward heaven you trod. If you want to turn with me quickly, I'm going to be mentioning a lot of scriptures. We'll probably not turn to all of them. There's just no way. But Luke chapter 9, verse 57, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Lord didn't say he wasn't going, just said he wasn't fit. You understand this morning, I believe we're living in a time where people think that Jesus' commandments are too grievous and there's a lot of excuses made, and we say that, well, the Lord understands. I've heard that so much in my ministry over the years. Lord understands that I can't make it on Wednesday night. Lord understands I can't make it on Sunday night. Lord understands that, I just ain't got time to help out with vacation Bible school. But you understand this morning that God gives us time to be born. God gives us time to be healthy and strong. The Bible says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says in Psalms 139:14, in thy book were all my members written. Do you realize that God takes the time to watch over us each and every day? We had traveled over 1,000 miles, and Lord only knows how many times the devil wanted to try to kill us while we was trying to make our way back to these mountains. We got up there on Poplar Grove Road, and right there at Poplar Grove Baptist Church, there's a Chevrolet pickup just come ahead, hitting us head on, messing with his phone. God watches over us each and every day. Sometimes we see those things, sometimes we don't. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. God gives us time, amen, to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because God gave his son in a place called Calvary. God took the time to send his precious only begotten son to a place called Calvary to die for you and I. God has given us time to hear His word again and again and again and again. We used to have cassette tapes. Now we're blessed with CDs. We're blessed with all kinds of recording devices. We've all got the privilege to have Bibles, amen, and King James Bibles at that, all over the Word of God. We've got, y'all don't realize how precious it is, the radio broadcasts and the radio programs you can listen to here back in these mountains. They still got that AM station and stuff, solid Bible preaching. God gives you time to hear the Word of God. God has given you time somewhere along the way, if you're saved by the grace of God, to believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God gave you that time to call upon that name that is above every name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God gave you that time. He didn't have to give that to you. God give you time to come to be a part and to have a family here at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And God's given you time to grow in His grace and in His knowledge. God's given you time to obey and to keep His commandments. God has given you time to serve Him. How long have you been saved? Are you really saved? How long have you been saved? God's given you time to serve Him. 24 hours a day, 168 hours in a week, 672 hours in a month, 8,064 hours in a year. How much time do you give God? How much time do you give Jesus Christ that went to Calvary and gave His all for you? How much time do you give Him every day? God's given you time to study His precious, infallible, inerrant word. I would be afraid to ask for a show of hands this morning. How many of you here this morning, you can raise them if you want to, but I'd about be afraid to see the results. How many of you have read through your Bible over and over again? How many of you young people have read through the Word of God? How many here this morning have spent as much time in the Word of God as you spend in television, video games, and the computer, and everything else? God's given you time to win souls. God tells us in His Word, he that winneth souls is wise. God has given us instructions to go out in the highways and the hedges and to compel them to come into His house that His house may be full. God has given you the privilege, understand. It is a privilege to serve Him. Amen. It's a privilege. Amen. And every waking day, you understand, that's not just by chance. God allowed you to sleep through the night, and God allowed your heart to beat, and God let you breathe His air to live another day to serve Him and not yourself. But yet, our churches are full of those today. No time for God as toward heaven I trod. I give you just several things as quick as I could what God's given us time for. Well, what do you make sure you have time for? You make sure you've got time for your job? Well, preacher, come on now, preacher. I've got to get paid. God give you that job, amen. You entrust that job to Him, amen, and all you put your hand to do, you do it as unto the Lord. God will bless you in that job, but that don't mean you stop serving Him. That don't mean you put the job before the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that means you got to quit your job or you got to be let go because Jesus Christ must come first, amen, then so be it. Trust the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into thy own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He shall direct thy paths. Amen. Freeman Gass, several years ago, pretty much they done all but come out and said that I was going to lose my job. I wouldn't have my job when I come back from Trinidad. Remember that, Brother Witt? Well, we prayed. God opened the door for us to go down there. And they, like I said, it's pretty much, matter of fact, when we got back, I told my wife, well, I'm just going to go ahead and put my uniform on, my pager, my keys, because if they're going to let me go, I got to turn this stuff in anyway. And I went there that Monday morning after they pretty much, I mean, what they said was, you go, you're not going to have a job when you come back. Now I went, I minded the Lord, I trusted God, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ.
God put a burden in my heart for those Trinidadian people that I couldn't shake. Didn't know what God was doing at that time, but he did.
Come back, and within a week or two, got a brand new freight line. And they said, oh, how'd your trip go? Did everything go good? Never said a word about letting me go. And within a week or 2 weeks, Brother Dale, they pulled in with a brand spanking new $75,000 freight liner with a diesel engine that I could listen to my pastor at that time on the radio that I didn't get to listen to before. God said, you trust me, you give me your time, and I'll take care of you and your babies and your wife. You just trust me. Amen. God wants us to give time to him. Some of you give all of it to the job. You give time for birthday parties and the school events and to the ball games and the cookouts and to time for horses and time for movies and time for golfing and fishing and video games and CDs and DVDs and BBs and hunting and shopping and remodeling the kitchen. I'm telling you, our nation's in a mess. We're in a mess. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, stretched out his arms at Calvary. His vision so marred more than any man, more than the forms of the sons of men. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But God has given us men of God, pastors, preachers, evangelists, missionaries, to open this blessed book and mind God and seek God and his will and preach the infallible and errant word of God till we may walk the paths of God and not our own. We need to be a people that's mindful of the Lord. We're guilty of making time for all these things and so much more, but very little time, if any, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died at Calvary for our sins. You can get to work on time. Amen. You can get to school on time. You deer hunters can get to the woods early. Get to the yard sale early to get the good deals. But you come dragging into the Lord's house on Sunday morning. Amen or oh me. Can't make it to prayer room. If you're here this morning, saved by the grace of God, if you've been birthed in the family of God, everybody that's saved here this morning ought to be in the prayer room before service starts. Amen. If you're physically able and God has blessed you with health and strength, you ought to be in a prayer room. I like to call it the power room. The foundation before the service begins. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. That destroyer of the enemy, the devil, the serpent, the dragon, you understand he's out to tear down and destroy every family in here. This church is made of families. It's made of individuals. You gather in prayer, I'm telling you, churches that pray together stay together. Amen. And when the division try to come, that time in prayer together, that unity in prayer. Amen. See, you can have union here at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, but you may not have unity. But if you are saved by the grace of God and you make time for prayer room, God will bless that union and you'll have unity as you pray together. Amen. God will bless that. Yet some say, no, I just ain't got time for God as toward heaven I trod. I ain't got time for Jesus. His commandments are just too grievous. I didn't know it was going to be so hard. No time for Wednesday night service. No time for Sunday night service. Oh, I'm too tired. Lord understands. You know what I think about when people say that? I think about Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. I think about the Word of God. It behooves you. Had an English teacher over there at Miss Welburn, Watauga High School. She'd say, it behooves you to study this material. I thought, what in the world does behoove mean? It's in the Word of God. Amen. Read your Bible through and you'll find it. Amen. It would benefit you. It would do to your good to read the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I don't want to be the some is. Amen. I don't want to be the some is. I don't want to be called ashamed at the coming of my Lord. But exhorting one another as much, so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Lord says not just on Sunday morning, but Sunday evening and Wednesday evening and on visitation at Bible school. I'm telling you, when the church has got things going on and you're a part of this church, that means you're going to be a part of the activity.
Amen.
But I ain't got time. You tell that to the Lord. Amen. You take that up with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You see about, you take it up with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and you see about how far your excuses get. They'll burn up, friend. They'll burn up. We live in a generation of excuses, and I'm tired of them. Because when I read this book, the Word of God hammers them all into dust.
Amen.
We're living in a generation that has no time to do anything but for themselves. Turn your Bible to 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. Bible says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Unholy. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. In other words, no restraint, none control. Preacher, I'm not like that. I come to church on Sunday morning. Is that all? Is that all? What about Wednesday night? What about Sunday evening? What about, I heard Brother Wynn said, y'all got visitation on Monday night. At what time? 6:30 on Monday night. How many of you are excited about visitation? You know why I left the church here in Watauga County several years ago? Because nobody would ever show up for a visitation. That included the deacons. There's one deacon showed up the first night or one night, I think the second, third night. I believe it's because the pastor did such a guilt trip. He showed up one time for visitation, and then it's me and one other young fella after that. And I felt so sorry for my pastor. It was terrible. I told my wife back then, God was helping me walk in the right path and get straightened out and straightened up. Amen. Get in the will of God and serve the Lord and give Him His time. I told Robin, I said, if we stay here, we'll die here spiritually with this church. We was in Trinidad and got word that they'd closed the doors, Brother Dale, shut the doors. And then they ended up giving the building to another church here in the county. If you're able, if God has blessed you with health and strength and your church has a visitation, you go door knocking, my friend, you ought to be here and you ought to be excited about it. During the day, you ought to have taken the time to pray about that visitation and pray that God would open doors and pray that God would work in hearts and prepare hearts to share the gospel with, and instead of doing everything for yourself. Because when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, and I ain't got there yet, we'll get there in a minute, but let's stop there just a moment. How far is your excuses going to go then?
Right.
They may be working for you today. They may work for you tomorrow night. But if the Lamb of God comes back free and you're saved, it ain't going to work at the judgment seat of Christ. Your excuses are going to be burned up.
Right.
Are you saved or not? Are you birthed in the family of God? Have you been redeemed or not? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior?
See, a lot of people know Jesus, but they don't know Him as Lord Jesus. That's what we've lost in our past generations. It's no longer Lordship salvation. It's a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. It's a guilt trip. It's my life is in a mess. I've got to do something to change and get better. But man can't do it themselves. It's a work of God. It's a work of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. God does the convicting. God does the converting. And my friend, if you really get born of the family of God, the Holy Ghost will lead you in the right path.
Amen.
If you have no conviction, if there's no conviction, there's a pretty good chance, friend, you don't have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I wept this morning on that massive old fireplace about this mess. My tears began to fall and hit them old mountain rocks about this message this morning.
Because I love you, and I don't want to come here and have to try to be mean or nothing, but honest is not me. The Word of God's a hammer. The Word of God's sharp for me, two-edged sword, and sometimes truth hurts. I'd rather some of you hurt here this morning and either get under conviction and get saved or repent of your old selfish ways and get right with God if you are saved. Get in the will of God and get your joy back. Because you don't have it. You can pretend you've got it, but you don't have it if you're not serving the Lord. If you're just playing church and playing Christian, you ain't got the joy that God wants you to have. I want to ask you something this morning. Mount Lebanon, what if you was born in Indonesia or Haiti here a few years or so ago? When all them tsunamis and all that stuff come through and those hurricanes. And I seen pictures on the computer where there's 3 or 4 dump truck loads of bodies, mass graves, dump trucks. Some of you drove dump trucks, I've drove dump trucks. Instead of hauling dirt, instead of hauling gravel, those countries were having to haul human bodies. A dump truck full of bodies, dead, decaying, stinking, rotten bodies. Dumping them in mass graves because of fear of disease. Walk down that door. Look down that valley. Look how beautiful it is around these mountains. You look where the grace of God has let you be born and let you live. And hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You need to remember what God has done for you. The families He brought you up in. The churches you grew up in. The preaching you grew up listening to.
Amen.
We could have been born in Haiti.
Right.
We could have been born in Indonesia. And watched them back then dump trucks up and wondered if our family was falling out of their own truck. And wondering if our youngins was going to get diseased because they had to drink that water. Because they didn't have nothing else, they had to drink it. Just born here in these beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains, these Appalachian Mountains, where the Bible's been preached, a rich, deep history of the Word of God in the church. Birthed here in these mountains. The devil's coming in by the fire and trying to rob it away. There ought to be more persecution going on right here in these mountains than anywhere else in the East Coast. Why, preacher? Because y'all got the name all the way out in Oklahoma of Sodom tomorrow. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Well, I ain't got time, preacher.
Lord, understand, I just ain't got time. Did He take the time to save you? Did God in His mercy and God's grace, did He take time to save you and redeem you and lift you out of a horrible pit, out of my faith, and set your feet upon the rock of ages?
The Sabbath to go and put a new song in your mouth, even praising our God, but we let the garbage of the world come along. We infiltrate our minds and our eyes and our ears with the filth of the world. It ain't too long. We come into a nice air-conditioned building. Nice carpeted floor. We left Trinidad. I still thought it was kind of in a prison bin. It says bars all around us. Concrete floors and just old homemade wooden benches. Boy, we had some sweet, wonderful services. Amen.
Amen.
Sitting on them old hard wood benches are good for folks. Keeps you getting too comfortable. But you come in here on Sunday morning. Nice air-conditioned, heat in the wintertime. Y'all are blessed to have that man for a pastor. You could have some sorry tulip tipping, back scratching, ear tickling, pansy behind the pulpit. Amen. You got a man of God that loves God and trusts the Lord and loves the people.
Follow Him. Listen. Listen to the man of God when he preaches the Word of God. When you get under Holy Ghost conviction because you are saved, do something about it.
Amen. Don't walk out the door, hit the altar. In the middle of his preaching, bust the altar weeping and crying. We're getting too much of a rut and we're getting a form and a fashion. Think you got to wait till the end of the service. I want to tell you something. God saved my wife. Brother Wynn, Sister Kim was there. The beginning of a service. I went to the altar. I got right with the Lord and surrendered to the mission field, and God was opening the window to heaven. Y'all done took us on, and God was blessing us beyond measure. The Lord just saved Isaiah. I was just thinking, Lord, I was just weeping and thanking God at the beginning of the service at the altar. Next thing I knew, my wife was weeping. I thought that was her beside of me, weeping and crying. I looked over, and there she was, kneeling down just a bawling. And I put my arm around her, and I said, what's the matter? She said, I don't think I've ever really been saved. Whew. Boy, I about lost it because I knew once and for all, thank God, God had opened her blinded eyes, and she's seen she's a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner, just made an old profession. God saved her. I told her just like I've told everybody else, didn't treat her any different. I said, I'll pray with you, but God's got to save you.
Yeah.
Amen. I began to pray, and she was praying, and then God said, be still and know I'm God. I just got quiet, and I heard her whisper, it's gone. She said, it's gone. And she started getting louder. She said, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. And she stood up, and right there in front of all the people, she was going, it's gone. It's gone. It's what was gone? The sin changed and it's been set free. That didn't happen at the end of the service. It took time, just a little time. Forgot about everybody else and what everybody else would think. We'd come through those doors on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday evening, and say, God, have your way with me. Holy Spirit, lead me. Guide me. We'd mind the Lord. Mind the Holy Spirit of God. Quit minding yourself. Quit minding everybody else. The little Chinese man said one time, too many mind, too many mind. Amen. Got too much on our mind. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. Mind God.
Amen.
God gets a hold of your heart this morning or any other service. Get you under conviction because you're neglecting God. You know you're out of the will of God. Hit the altar, friend. Come out of there, crawl over people, say, excuse me, bow all over them on your way by, amen, and get to the altar.
Amen.
Get right with God. And watch, just watch the Lord move. We're not born in Haiti. We've not been born in Indonesia. But yet there's some still here this morning. All the blessings of the Lord in your heart, you still say, Jesus' commandments are too grievous. No time for God is toward heaven I trod. Turn your Bible to Hebrews 12 and verse number 5. Friend, God loves you this morning. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 5. The Bible says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. How many times in your life has the Lord got up the belt and began to wear you out? And you knew it right then, amen? Listen, I've got physical scars. I was on my hands and my knees. The doctor said if I'd stayed at home 2 more hours, I'd have died there on the floor, running from the call to preach, running from the call of God. And God was wearing me out because every time he'd go to whipping on me, I'd say, okay, Lord, I will. Okay, Lord, I will. And I wouldn't. God should have smashed me like a bug on a windshield at 80 miles an hour. Our speed limits are 70, 75, by the way. Amen. How many times should God just smash you like a bug? What have you and I ever done to deserve to live after we've been saved? We've deserved a whole lot just to be smashed like a bug, to die. But God's whipped us, sometimes gently, sometimes a little harder. But
how merciful it is if we just take heed. How good God is if we just take heed. I'll never forget the night we stepped in the men's prayer room and I was being deceitful. I didn't tell Brother Wynn, didn't tell the deacon of the Forest Grove that I was going to join the Marine Corps, 27 years old, 27, 28, somewhere around in there. I thought, well, I'm going to surrender to the mission field, Brother Dale. Yep, I got it figured out now. I don't have to do it by faith. I let up with Sam figure. Boy, I was spiritual, wasn't I? I mean, the military, they need to go gospel, man. And I thought, well, I'll go in and I'll join. I pass my ass fed, pass my physical, bam, bam, bam. Never asked no question. When I tried to get in out of high school, I like to never got in. The devil was working everything just right. Come back Wednesday night, there was one person supposed to swear in. Show you the grace of God. One person to swear somebody, that's how ignorant our government is, amen. Bring boys 2, 3, 4 hours away. One person, they're sick that day, praise the Lord. Yeah. Everything was done. We're supposed to go in that room and swear in just like I'd done for the guard years earlier. He was sick that day. I had to go home and I had to see Brother Wynn. I was dreading it, something awful. Because I knew I had to tell him. And I told him, I said, I need to meet with you after service. And he said, all right. I don't know if anything got wind of it or what, but we went down to that men's prayer room and he come in there and everybody's deacons in there and we was waiting on him. He sit down. He looked over at me and he said, I want to know one thing. Is this the perfect will of God for your life? That's all he said. That's all it took. I hit my knees, bawled like a little child, sobbing and crying, stopping carrying on off this racket. Boy, it sure was wonderful though. Because boy, I was fixing to ruin my family. Amen. I was fixing to ruin my family, fixing to ruin my whole life and the ministry that God had for me. And that's what I told him and I told them deacons. I said, God's called me to the mission field. And then we got to go to Trinidad and everything just worked out after that. But you've got to give yourself to God. And friend, it ain't always writing on the wall either. It's by faith. You got to give him your time. You got to give yourself to him. You got to yield to him. Because if he don't, he can go to wallering on you, amen. Because he loves you. He was mentioned in the men's Sunday school class this morning. Somebody else done mention this morning, I understand. But in my notes here from years ago, reason I had to have my glasses because they're so small. But find homes, find vehicles, find jobs, healthy children. That alone makes me weep many a time. When I think about my two youngins, when I think about how healthy they are, now I look around and I see some parents that's going through some hard times because the will of God. God knows what he's doing. But I'm grateful God let me have two healthy youngins up to this point. Something could happen today. But I thank God for what he's given to us to this point. Everything, everything God's given us, everything Jesus has done for you, and yet in your heart, he cries out before the ears of God, I have no time for God, that's what heaven I try. I've got things for me, I've got to get this done, I've got to get that done, I've got to get this in order, I've got to get this secretary, I've got to get this IRA, this CD, I've got to get all this done. Well, if it don't, it's just not right. Where does it say that in the Word of God? If you put things in order, the Lord will take care of the retirement plan. If you put things in the hands of God, he'll take care of you. Hey, come home with me after a while. Hey, man, we got plenty of room. God will take care of your little children.
Amen.
The molding, and some of you carpenters have molding around here. It's like that big. Because it's got to be that big. You look funny if you're small. Six full bathrooms. You comprehend that? I still ain't got it yet. Amen. We didn't have a place to stay. We started praying. Time for God. You serve the Lord. He'll take care of you, honey. He'll take care of his little children.
Amen.
And it's joyful. It's wonderful. It's a blessing. It's wonderful. Get to come to Mount Lebanon and it worked out. It's such a blessing. This is the first church I come into. And Brother Dale, he began to sing Sunday school this morning and sit there and I quenched the spirit. I stood and just bawled or shouted or both. Boy, to hear a choir sing. Just to hear a church choir sing.
You've been on the mission field. It'll flood your soul. We just have recently got a piano player. And that's because God saved her from a life of drugs and alcohol and all that mess. And to be all, she knew how to play piano years and years ago when she was young.
Yeah.
God touched her and she just picked it right back up. Right. I was praying for a godly family to come in, a godly piano player to love the Lord and play for the Lord. Not to be heard. Well, what better way to get one like that? God just saved her.
Amen.
God got her under conviction and saved her. Put the Lord first. Now put your seatbelt on. It's going to get rough. No time for family devotions. Amen or oh me. Just ain't got time. Too tired. Time to go to bed. How long did you watch TV? How long did you play with that mouse? How long did you play with your smartphone? How long did you play with your iPad, your Galaxy, your Fire Kindle? I know of them things, but I don't know, hardly know how to use them. Thank the Lord. They're good in their place. Understand? I'm not belittling them. They're good in their place. But when they take the time that God wants from you, friend, then you need to repent, get right with God, and let God control those things. And if you can't control them, you understand, you've got to let God control them. You spend more time listening to the filth and garbage on primetime TV, and you come in here on Sunday morning, you're expecting a bunch of youngins to get birthed into the family of God next week. Boy, you're working for a hard one. But if you get right with the Lord and you spend time in prayer, sweet hour of prayer, amen.
Yeah.
How many of you in a day spend that much time praying? How many of you in 2 days, 3 days, 4? How many of you in a week spend that much time praying? Praying in earnest supplication unto God. That, my friend, that means when something breaks inside, I believe your tears begin to well up in your eyes and something will break and begin to cry out from within you. Begin to talk to the Lord.
Amen.
No time for God as toward heaven we trod. No time for Jesus because his commandments are too grievous. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. God said to his children, be ye holy. You say that's in the Old Testament, preacher, it is. But it's in the New Testament too. Quote in the Old Testament. God said unto his children, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now listen. Now I'm going to ask you something. If the Lord Jesus Christ come knocking at your door, your favorite television show, The Voice, The X Factor, Dancing with the Stars, American Idol. Jesus Christ knocking on your door at your house. Your favorite night, your favorite show. What are you going to do? The Lamb of God opens the door, nails scarred hands, nails scarred feet. Countenance white as snow. Come on in, Jesus. Just getting ready to watch American Idol. Oh, you'll love it. Because God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. I love you, church. And I'm trying to preach truth. We're living in a dangerous hour. We're living in the hour of apostasy. The day we preach in our way in our homes. Wrong with our minds. Wrong with our hearts. God said in Exodus chapter 20, and God spake these words saying, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, for thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or is in earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me.
years. But Paul said, says it all. That choir country is exploding from within. It's not the politician's fault, it's the church. It's the children of God. They go up out of the wilderness. They go you out from the bondage of sin. And he said, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The holy God. You cannot make excuses. He's a holy, just, and a righteous God. That's why you're here this morning. That's why God put this on my heart this morning. Because he loves you. He always gave the children of Israel a space to repent. He always gave them time to repent. But if they did not repent of their sin, if their heart cried out, no time for God as for heaven I trod, no time for Jesus because his commandments are too grievous. Friend, 1 John 5 and 3 says his commandments are not grievous. Look at it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3.
Preacher, you're meddling. No, I'm not. You're watching things, and you're listening to the things, and you're loving things that you should not be loving.
Why is it so bad? Really? Really?
Do you have to ask if you are saved? If you are saved, you have to ask that question. How many of you watch NBC News? The Today Show? How many of you watch ABC or CBS or something? I noticed that they're copycatting each other. I guess it's a trend now. What do they do every summer? Some kind of, some kind of concert fest. They bring in, many, many times, some of the very first ones are previous American Idol winners. Or the Voice winners. Or the X Factor winners. Why do you know so much about that stuff, Richard? Because I hate it. I hate it. It's ruining our youth. It's robbing our youth, the hearts, the spirit. God desires a holy child of God.
Amen.
God wants young people that are sold out to him.
So what do you got so much against it for? Because Exodus 20, those first few verses that I quoted to you earlier. Because God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He said, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. And you folks that know about that stuff, you folks that unfortunately have the awareness of that stuff, you tell me what millions of our young people in this nation do with those American Idol winners.
What are they doing? What are they doing? They are worshiping those people. United States of America has become a nation of entertainment. You study the histories of other nations, that's exactly how Rome failed.
You don't know how hard I had to pray to be able to preach this morning. I know there's a lot of good folks here. It's a good church.
God's blessed His church and it stood the test of time. It stood the test of the adversary again and again and again. It stood the test of division and tearing down the foundations of what God done through the men of God before. It stood the test.
But if you start falling deceived, and you start falling, and you start making excuses for things that are unholy, things that you know deep in your heart, if you are saved. If you're lost, you ain't getting this at all. But if you are saved, if you've experienced the grace of God and know the Holy Spirit and know that God is holy, you understand somewhere deep in your heart.
It's wrong. And you'll not grow, and you can't experience the joy of the Lord as long as you're playing with Egypt.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
First command. After you remind them, I brought you out. I have redeemed you. I have brought you up. I have sent you and delivered.
Listen, dear child of God, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've been brought out.
Amen. You've been brought out.
Amen.
You've been brought out. Why do you want to turn and go back to Egypt? Oh, there's nothing there.
Amen.
But vain and vanity.
Don't worry about what I'm thinking. Don't you worry about what anybody else is thinking. You just humble your sweet self. Amen. Man, woman, boy, or girl. If the Holy Ghost has smote your heart, just humble yourself. God loves you. If He didn't love you, He wouldn't warn you. But understand this, you're receiving a warning. You're receiving a warning. Now, look.
I preached this message in Oklahoma to a church. I've already got peace of that in my heart. I ain't preached this about 3 or 4 times my whole ministry. Because I know it hits home in every place, everywhere. It don't matter where you're at. It's going to hit home.
Amen.
God laid this on my heart heavy. The first revival meeting I was asked to preach in Oklahoma. Prayed about it, got peace about it. Knew it was a message. Got there the second night, the pastor said, Brother Mark, you want to come in with me and Brother John? Brother John dead. He's 87 years old, preached on the radio out there. Brother Dave is blessed. Old time school. Old, you stay with the stuff. Boy, I thought, well, there's hope here after all. They didn't even have prayer in the first night. Oh, well, there's hope here after all. That rascal, that deceiving little rascal, he got me in there. He sat down across from me, and the first thing he said, now, brother, if you go more than 30 minutes, you'll lose them. They won't come back. Don't preach them more than 30 minutes. Can you do that? Now, wait a minute. What was my message? No time for God. That's for heaven. You talk. You could have knocked me out of the chair for faith. I didn't know he was going to take me in that room and tell me that. He said, can you do that? I said, yes, sir. The help of the Lord. I was taught to respect the pastor. He's a thought. And then he asked me to pray.
Yeah.
He asked me to pray. It was a good thing. We got to talk without limitation. I experienced something like that. I prayed. And I started to tell him before Brother John's my witness.
Started to open my Bible and show him this yellow pieces of paper. But I didn't get liberty. I said, no, I'm going to tell the pastor before the church and Brother John. And I told him, and you're talking about getting pale. I thought he was going to fall out of the pew.
2 weeks. 2 weeks
to the hour, 7 o'clock. The service starts at 7 o'clock on a Thursday night. They've not done that before. The only reason they start on Thursday night is because of me anyway. Couldn't make it Wednesday night. 2 weeks for the hour. God sent an E4 tornado and wiped that fellowship hall completely off its foundation. It was gone. Ripped all the holes in the sanctuary. Stuff was hanging in behind the pulpit. There was insulation all over the place. It was a mess. And I fell on the doors and I fell on my knees and began to cry and weep. I didn't know anybody else. Has ever been Brother Brandon White? I don't know Brother Brandon. He was preaching a meeting for us. And we went in there. And that pastor come in there. And that clock was on the wall. And I helped him, and I thought at least he'd do to get around and pray with me. Nothing. No tears, no nothing. Nothing. Dead. You say, well, wonder why the Lord tore up the fellowship hall instead of the sanctuary.
He tore it all up good enough they had to totally tear it down and rebuild. But here's what it was. No time for God as toward heaven they trod. No time for God. There were some people there, Brother Wynn. They loved God. They wanted God and they wanted revival. I knew it. I mean, God gave me liberty every night. And there's some people that wept and cried, but there's a bunch of them that's so mad. They hate me. It wasn't just me, was it? But that Sunday morning, the last morning, me and my wife went in, no lights on the sanctuary. I thought, where in the world is everybody at? It's 10 o'clock, almost 10 o'clock. Where's everybody at? So I stepped back, and there's a whole bunch of people in the fellowship hall, drinking coffee, milk, and eating donuts and bagels. No prayer room. No singing to prepare the heart and the mind. No singing, no nothing. I stepped back in, and me and Robin sit down back there and nearly dark. Somebody kind of tapped me on the shoulder, and we went into the Sunday school room. And I preached that morning, and that night, I think, and that was it. God tore that church building, that property, all to pieces after this message, and a lot of people left after that. They went their own way.
There's a full-blood Choctaw man, Brother Wynn. He's sitting in a wheelchair about a quarter way back. God let me preach on Calvary one night. And that man, full blood Choctaw, put me to death. I was preaching. He had tears running down his face. And somewhere along Calvary's way, somewhere up on that mountain, boy, his hands went up and he went to wave and tear. He was sobbing. His lips looked, boy, I grabbed my boy in the books. Amen. Nobody else had time for the Lord. Me and him did. It was a blessing. It was good. We got in on it. Why was... Brother Art Greer used to say, you better get in the water while God's troubling it. You better get in the water while God's troubling it. How in the world are you and your family, this church, going to see revival? How are you and this church going to see God save souls in this Bible school next week? Amen. If you don't sacrifice your old self some time and get along with the Lord and make time for Christ. Oh, preacher, please don't go back there again. Well, it's in my notes. And Lord, give me liberty. You make time to watch a 2-hour movie? Amen. You make time to read old worldly carnal books and magazines? You make time to read the paper all the time? And you remember most of the stuff that's in there, most stuff you read, but you can't quote 5 or 10 verses from a King James Bible. Friend, dear child of God, what are you going to do at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ? But preacher, there's a rainbow of mercy there. According to Revelation 4, there's a rainbow of mercy. Yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and you better be thanking God for it because you're going to need it and I'm going to need it. All your excuses for being selfish. I'm too tired. I ain't got time. Would you do something for yourself and the Lord this afternoon when you get home, if God blesses you to get home, and all this insane traffic, it's crazy out here now. Crazy. I'm glad my youngins learned to drive in Oklahoma. But would you do yourself a favor and God a favor when you get home? Some of you can probably do it in your head. Take a calculator
and you multiply your age times the hours or times the days that God has given you, and you look how much time. Start when he saved you. If you remember about when he saved you, start there. It's a good place to start. But you, how much time have you given the Lord? You can't remember what the preacher preached on. You can't remember what the Sunday school teacher taught on, because your mind, too many mind, too many mind, too busy. Brother, I've told this many a time on the mission field in the past 14 years. Brother Wynn Greer used to be my pastor, or he used to have a pastor. He preached a message one time. Busy. Has he ever preached it here? Busy. Being under Satan's yoke. Being under Satan's yoke. That's four. Yeah. Are you saved? Are you born again? Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense.
Amen.
Is it grace? Or is it busy? Being under Satan's yoke. God in his design, let us make man our image. Grace. God's design, four fingers and a thumb. I about lost this one in a wood splitter. That hurts. God smashed it plumb off. Well, I got the key. It'd be hard to make that illustration here, man. What about your toes? How many toes you got? Four toes and a big toe. I don't know if that's proper, but five, right? How many toenails you got? You ain't smashed them all. Five. What in the world are you getting at, preacher? Well, is it busy being under Satan's yoke? Or is it by the grace of God? Everywhere you go, when you put your socks on, God says, my grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Amen. When you put your gloves on in the winter time, then when you go out and work in the wood, you slip them gloves in, them four fingers and a thumb off, God says, my grace has saved thee. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. But it works, let's see, man should boast. Is it busy or is it grace? Who are you living for this morning? Who are you giving time to today? Who are you giving time to? In Leviticus, you can study about the Levitical priesthood. And God told them to take out the ashes. And they had to refuel the fire. And they had to renew the sacrifice. What I'm asking you this morning, Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, I believe it's time for many here to take out the ashes. Amen. And renew the fire. And renew the sacrifice.
Amen.
Quit worrying about what everybody else thinks. If I, that night, my wife got birthed in the family of God, had not got a divorce from public opinion, I'd have sit right back there and missed the will of God. And Lord only knows when and if she'd ever got saved. Amen.
Amen.
I forgot about everybody else just for a little bit, just for a moment. And I went and gave God thanks for a vehicle. Took us to Texas. Our home. God always provided. When we sold, we had a place to stay. When we was just ready to leave out for Trinidad, had a place to stay. When we come home from Trinidad, we had a place to stay. We went to Oklahoma. God blessed us with a home to purchase. We come home and say, Mother! And God said, enjoy this, my son!
Amen.
Time! Give him time. Don't give time for busy. Give time for grace to have its way with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There'll be a time for judgment. There will be a time for judgment.